Hello, good evening, everybody. Welcome back. This week is Parashas Korach, and we're going to continue the discussion that we began 2 weeks ago about refuah on Shabbos, the halachas of when you are allowed to do various things in order to make yourself feel better, take medicine, go to the doctor, etc., and etc. So 2 weeks ago, we discussed Pikuach Nefesh a little bit. We covered how to determine if something is Pikuach Nefesh and how to know to take action. And this week, I want to move on to the other categories of refuah. So last time, we explained that there really are four categories of refuah, and I want to go into that this week a little bit more in depth. So the first category, obviously, is the halacha of pikuach nefesh, where if there's a life-threatening sickness, a life-threatening situation, a life-threatening ailment, any of those, the halacha is that you do whatever is necessary. Nothing stands in front of pikuach nefesh, and that's what we discussed 2 weeks ago. Now, I would like to discuss the next category. The next category is called sakanas eiver. Sakanas eiver means when there is a limb at risk. Now, simply put, what this means is a limb at risk would mean, like, lo'aleinu, a child, chas v'shalom, gets his finger stuck in a door, and there's a real question about what will be with that with that finger. So that's something which we would call sakana saver, this threat to a limb. Now, in truth, it's not limited to merely a literal threat to a limb in that way, but any sort of loss of a usage of a limb would be included. So if there's any sort of functionality that could possibly be lost, chas v'shalom, due to an accident of any limb, whether it's a finger, whether it's an eye, whether it's any part of the body, and functionality can also mean appearance, like the face's functionality is to look good. And something that will cause misfiguration, lo'aleinu, would also be included in sakana saver. So sakana saver is one level under pikuach nefesh, and that means that although one is not allowed to do a malacha d'oraisa, but anything which is d'rabbanan is allowed. All d'rabbanans are permitted for sakana saver, and therefore, definitely, without a question, one can ask a non-Jew to do anything that's necessary for sakana saver. But even more than that, a person can himself do things that are drabanan. So, for example, let's say you want to do something with a shinoi. For example, let's say you're in a place that there's no Erev and you need to carry in order to help this person that has a sakana saver. You have to carry ID or whatever it is. So you can put it in your sack. And that would be carrying it with a shinus. That would only be drabanan. That would only be drabanan. And whatever other drabanan, as applicable, would be allowed to be done in order to save the limb or save the functionality of a limb. That's sakana saver. Sakana saver is a very extreme situation. It's just under pikuach nefesh. Generally, many cases of sakana saver really involve pikuach nefesh as well. Of course, if chas v'shalom, there's something happens, a person's finger gets cut off, there's going to be a question of the pikuach nefesh as well. And it's rare that it's one without the other, but it does happen. Sometimes a person gets to a doctor and the doctor takes care of the immediate danger, and then now it's a question of doing something to preserve the functionality of the limb, which requires other things to be done. So that's called sakana saver, and again, once again, all drabanan are allowed to save a limb. The next category is called chayla she'em b'sakana. And that means someone who's sick, but he's not life-threatening illness. Now, included in this category is anybody who is sick. Chayla kol gufa, his whole body is sick. And what that means is that he needs to be in bed. Now, not everybody has the luxury to go to bed, right? Many times we would love to go to bed, but we can't. We have family responsibilities, we have children, little children running around that need us. So you will force yourself to stay out of bed and do whatever is absolutely necessary. Of course, there are times that a person is so sick they can't even do that. And, you know, they need someone to step in. But even if that's not the case, and you can force yourself to do various things around the house, but you would really, 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 if you were able to, you'd go straight to bed. And if you were by work and you had the ability, you would leave work and go to bed. If you're younger, you're in school, you would go home. So any situation where you feel sick enough that really the place you belong is the bed. So that's called chelosh halagos. Now, what is the importance of this status of chelosh ebe sakana, who's chelosh al gufa, who's fully sick and needs to go to bed? So one aspect of it is that anything which is refuah is permitted, which means there are a number of things that don't involve any malacha. There's no deraisa, and there's no particular issur d'rabbanan other than it's refuah. The Chazal prohibited things simply because they were refuah, even if they didn't involve any other malacha. There's no mukta, and there's no chaytech, and there's no bayra, there's no malacha, but it's refuah, it's healing, and healing is something Chazal didn't allow on Shabbat. So, for example, taking medicine is prohibited on Shabbos, but it's only prohibited because of the Isra of Refuah. There is no other problem with taking medicine. The whole Isra is the Isra of Refuah. So the Isra of Refuah is permitted for a Chol Hashem B'Sakana. He can do these things. He can take medicine when he's a Chol Hashem B'Sakana. That's the primary thing that you need to know about a Chol Hashem B'Sakana. If the person's sick enough that they need to go to bed, they're in the category of a Chol Hashem B'Sakana, and taking medicine is permitted. Now, there are other things which are permitted, but I'll leave that for next week. We'll go into this in more depth. But just to understand the simple category, that's what is allowed for Chol Hashem B'Sakana. Now, the last category is a mechush, an ailment. Now, this includes all sorts of pains, aches, irritations, inflammations, stomach problems, scratches, cuts, and everything in between. If it's not intense enough to force you to lie down, if it's not intense enough that it envelops you to the point where you can't function, then it's just a mechush. It's painful, it hurts, it's bothersome, it can make us irritable and annoyed, but it is only a mechush. It's not enough to consider ourselves sick. And therefore, nothing is permitted. We can't take medicine, we can't do anything. As much as that is, you know, it hurts us and it's destroying our Kavod Shabbos and our feel for Shabbos, but on the contrary, we need to keep Shabbos. And Chazal didn't allow anything for a mechush. Now, there are some things which are permitted because they're not refuah at all. And that we'll have to talk about also again, Mitzvah Shem, next week. But these are the four categories. So once again, the categories are pikuach nefesh, where everything is allowed, sakana sever, when there's risk to a limb or functionality of a limb, where everything other than a d'oraisa, everything below a d'oraisa is allowed, chol Hashem b'sakana, someone who's chol kol gof, he's sick, he needs to go to bed, where refuahs are allowed, you're allowed to take medicine, and certain other things, as we'll discuss. And lastly is mechush, where it's only an ailment, it's only a pain, it's only something that hurts, but it doesn't cause you to be sick in bed. There, nothing is allowed, other than things which are not simply not considered refuah. But other than that, everything else is not allowed. And those are the four categories, and the Mitzvah Shem, we'll discuss it a little bit further next week. So this week's parasha is Korach, and it's a fascinating parasha. It's the first real uprising in Klal Yisrael, and the uprising is against no other than the greatest, most celebrated leader Klal Yisrael ever had, Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, uprisings are not an unusual event in history. They happen in every generation, numerous times. However, this one is unique because the motivation of the people who are collaborating. Korach and his followers were seeking ruchnius. They're looking to grow. That was their stated mission. That's what they wanted. That's why they were uprising. That's why they were fighting against Moshe Rabbeinu. They felt they had been denied. Denied opportunity. Denied ability. Now, although Chazal, according to Rashi, looked deep into his motivations, and they find a personal agenda. They say he wanted to become the leader of his Shevet, and Moshe Rabbeinu had appointed someone else, and he felt that was wrong. That's not the stated reason, and Chazal looked to deep within a person to find the personal agenda, because if a person would be 100% pure, he would be protected from making a mistake. Bad doesn't come out of good. So Chazal determined that if there was a mistake here, if he made a mistake, there must have been some deep internal reason that caused him to make that mistake, and that was a personal agenda. But that being the case, regardless of that, the stated reason in the Torah for the uprising was that Korach and his followers were looking for Kedusha. Kal ha'eda kulam kedoshim. The whole nation are all holy, equally. They felt squashed, they felt limited by being only Levian, and they desired to grow and become Kohanim, to be the closest servant of Hashem possible. Now, what was the message which was sent to him from Hashem in response? The message was, you can't change certain things. You have to follow the rules. Moshe tells them, he says, in the morning, Hashem will let everybody know who he approves of serving him. And Rashi explains, he mentioned morning to say that the same way morning and evening can't be changed, you can't make morning evening, and you can't make evening morning. Likewise, the classes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu installed in Klal Yisrael, Kehanim, Levim, Yisraelim, can't be altered. So we see there was a case here that apparently the desire that they had to grow and come close to Hashem was frowned upon. It's not always the right thing. And at the same time, within the very same discussion, we find the opposite. Moshe Rabbeinu rebukes Korach and his followers by saying, Rav lochem b'nei Levi, which means, it should be enough for you, b'nei Levi, the sons of Levi, the position that you already have. Is it so little, the fact that you can serve Hashem? So he uses that terminology, Rav lochem b'nei Levi, this is enough. We find the Gemara in Sefer says that Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for making this statement. When Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Vayechanan tried to beg Hashem to allow him to enter Eretz Yisrael, Hashem told Moshe, Rav loch, al tosef daber alai. This is enough for you. Don't continue to talk to me. So Chazal say that these particular words were chosen, Rav loch, as a rebuke to Moshe Rabbeinu for giving that message of Rav lochem to the Korach. He shouldn't have said that to them. So apparently we don't discourage growth and the desire to advance in Judaism. And what's going on over here? What's the dividing line? What is okay and what's not okay? On one hand, that is precisely what Korach and his followers were punished for. They desired to grow in areas where they weren't allowed to grow. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he tells them, back off, somehow gave the wrong message, gave a message which he himself was rebuked for later on. So what is the message? Where do we grow and where don't we? Korach made an interesting claim, according to Rashi. When he said, Kol ha'olam kulo kadoshim, we're all holy, Rashi says what he said really was, we all stood on Har Sinai, and we heard Hashem say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Now, what sort of argument is that? Why does hearing that particular commandment, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, why does that entitle everyone to equal service of Hashem? What does it say in the first of the Aseret HaDibros, the most central of our belief, Hashem is one, Hashem is only, where in there does something support his argument that everybody should be equal? So there's an interesting thing here. When Hashem said on Har Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, an awesome concept was introduced. Hashem was Elokim, he was the master of all forces. But what does it mean Elokecha? It means your God. Now, how is Hashem something personal? And every day in Kriyat Shema, we reinforce this concept. We say, Shema Yisrael, listen everyone, Hashem is Elokeinu. He is our God. We don't say Hashem Hu Elokim, like we say on Yom Kippur. We say Hashem Elokeinu, He is our God. This is one statement, and then we say Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, and that's the second thing. They work together, that's another discussion. But what does it mean, He is our God? Every person needs to know that Hashem has a personal plan for him, something that's between him and Hashem. Something so important that Hashem won't allow him to mess it up. He won't ever allow the person to forget about it, whatever it takes. Hashem will stand by his side. He'll barrage a person with reminders, pushes, shoves. I am leading you through life. We have a partnership going on between me and you personally. Hashem is always there beside us to lead us and to help us through the challenges of life, to lead us on the mission that he has for us. That's Elokecha. He's a personal God. Now, here there was room for debate. Korach's understanding of this was that every person has the ability to create Elokecha, which means he understood we choose our approach in serving Hashem, and we carve out the partnership to the best of our ability. The truth that was demonstrated to him is that, no, each person is assigned a particular role, and growth needs to be within that role. And that's where someone can find Elokecha. This wasn't a simple argument. It was something significant enough that it took a tremendous change of nature to settle it. Nothing less than the earth opening up and swallowing them, apparently, would have been convincing enough. And in truth, although we perhaps know in our heads what's the right way, we all struggle with this nevertheless at some point or another. There are times in our lives where we would think that we could be accomplishing so much more if we'd be somewhere else, doing something else, associating with different people, have different assets available to us. There are times that we think that certain aspects of Yiddishkeit are limiting us, that although we know they're good, we know we're in a yeshiva, we think perhaps the yeshiva limits us. We could do so much more if we didn't have to keep the rules, if we didn't have to follow the restrictions. The community sometimes puts restrictions on us that we feel perhaps inhibit our growth. And we need a certain level of emunah to realize that Hashem put us where we are and has expectations of us there. But we would like to think that we know where we can find Hashem. And reality is Hashem dictates where we find Him. When Moshe Rabbeinu told the Levim, "It is enough for you," it seems that the correct expression would have been Hakol Shelach, not Ravlach, not that it's enough for you, but rather everything is yours, which means you can find all the ruchnis you desire and everything you're striving for with what you have. There's nothing wrong with desiring more and more closeness to Hashem, and there's nothing wrong with desiring to be as close as a kohen, but what he should have or was needed to communicate to them in the language, in any case, was that it's all there. It's all there, and you have it already, and you don't need to look other places for it. Hakol Shelach, not Ravlach, not quell your desire and to grow, but rather find your growth where you are and in the limitations Hashem imposed upon you. You can find the lekecha. You can form that partnership. Hashem puts us where we are. We don't get to choose how and where, what, when, what we'll do. What we get to choose is whether we'll operate within what we have to find and get as close to Hashem as possible. And that's the message that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Hashem was communicating to Korach. Don't seek other places. Everything you want is there, and is there where I put you. That's Alekecha. I call the shots on this relationship, and you can get extraordinarily close and do the mission that I've set out for you if you keep within the guidelines that I set out. And that's a big challenge for all of us, all the time. Have a good evening and a good Shabbos. Go for it.